This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to Saxo's Market Call on the 5th of August 2021. And well, what a roller coaster session yesterday, Ole. We initially had declines and lower declines in U.S. equities and lower yields on the back of a very disappointing ADP employment report, and then it all turned around later in the session with the ISM services sector, delivering above 64 and a new record against 60 expected, and it's just suddenly we have rates coming higher. We also had the speech from Clarita. You can see this on slide 3. Where he basically says that a rate hike could start already in 2023, maybe between the lines. He already said 2022 because there's upside risk to inflation, and his forecast is that inflation will stay above the previous 2% inflation target for the next 3 years. So as Steen Jacobsen said in an internal call, I mean, if that's transitory, I need a new dictionary. And with the upside risk to inflation, It would seem appropriate for the bond market, Ole, to shift gear a little bit. And we talked about it yesterday with this big Alphadyne hedge fund that lost $1.5 billion in the recent decline in the U.S. yields. And you have to wonder with the squeeze that have been ongoing and now these very, very strong results from the service sector in the U.S., whether we have bottomed out in rates. It's I think it's a question worth pondering.
Absolutely, Peter, and because we've had this significant drop in yields now all the way since March, and this does raise the question whether we have seen a cycle low in yields, and that also reverberated across all the markets yesterday. On slide 4, we can see how we've seen a small pickup in the dollar against both the euro and the yen, because obviously the market may try to preempt a faster pace of normalization in the U.S., which may support the dollar from an interest rate differential basis. So the dollar trades firmer this morning, and that basically led to some across the board weakness in commodities, not least in gold. And talking about the timing, I just sent out a report yesterday when we were challenging that 1830 level. Just talk about the prospects of potentially this ADP having a change in the outlook, because the market is lukewarm on gold because we have a strong economic outlook. It's basically reducing the risk of the need for diversification. And once again, just as the report was out, we had Clarita's comments, and we crashed straight back down to where we came early in the day. So we're still stuck in the range, as you can see on slide 5. 1790-95 support area to the downside, and that 1830 plus now is a massive area of resistance that really needs to get cracked before any talk about additional long position into this market. I just put in the insert just showing the three different yields that we're looking at: nominal break-even yields and inflation adjusted yields, the real yield. And real yields was really the one that suffered the most yesterday when we saw that pickup. So the big question, right, in the short term now, will the market, something like gold and precious metals in general, be as immune to a potential backing up in yields as they were to the yield drop we saw? So that is obviously the big question that the market, the precious metal market, is asking this morning.
Yeah, and we also have to come back to equities a little bit, because we had a rebound yesterday in the Chinese technology industry, but this morning again we're coming down to earth, and one of the big names out there, Kuaishou, I hope it's pronounced correctly, but Kuaishou Technology, one of the big IPOs within the past year, so it's down heavily, and it was down more than 10%. I think from the peak, it's down almost 70 or 80% when I look at the chart. I'll be writing about what's going on in China and also the new health initiative in my equity update today. So stay tuned for that. But on slide 2, you can see as well, the NASDAQ 100 pushing higher. As I say, I mean, with the current low yields, the pickup in the services sector, which is the biggest sector in the US, and very strong earnings, what's not to like for equities? And that is the story that traders are running with. And staying with the earnings on slide 6, I think there are two takeaways here on earnings. So the Q2 earnings season has been extremely strong, and the quarter on quarter earnings growth rates for both the Nasdaq and the MSCI World is just staggering, because we're coming off a very strong base from Q1 earnings season. So the fact that we're seeing 12 and 9% quarter-on-quarter growth rates in earnings in Q2 is just mind-boggling, I think. And as you can see on the slide, earnings are now 40% higher in the global equity index of the MSCI World compared to the quarter before the pandemic hit earnings and the world back in Q1 of 2020. And the Nasdaq is slightly higher with 42% growth. And that's the second point I have, is that there's always so much focus on the Nasdaq and the technology and they're superior. But I think this chart actually shows you that we have entered, at least for now, a new regime where the boring companies, which is, I say, is half of the MSCI World Index, so the classic value. We have energy companies, commodities companies, as you know very well, Ole, and industrial companies. These type of companies are doing as well as technology stocks in terms of earnings growth. And I think that's a very interesting trend to be highlighting. But
yeah, and we've seen some really bumper earnings, obviously, with these very high high commodity prices in recent months.
Yes.
I saw Glencore out as well this morning. So so obviously, the dividends are being bumped higher. But I just wondered, before we have some more commodity slides, whether I should just keep your blood pressure down, Peter, or should we talk about Robin Hood?
I actually forgot Robin Hood, but that's we can always debate how much of the small events happening in the market we should comment on, and but it might be worth reflecting on the Robin Hoods. What happened yesterday is that the Robin Hood share price will galloping higher, much higher, I think 50% or so.
Yeah.
I think you said at one point it was almost double up.
Well, we opened at, we traded 30, and I think at one point yesterday we hit almost 80. So it is crazy.
It is, and it's if you compare Robinhood to other brokerage firms, I did a pre-IPO analysis. It's probably the most frothy brokerage IPO ever in history. And there are key three risks to that business. It's the change in it to the payment for order flows. It's the change or attack on the gamification that they have done on trading, with their focus on making it almost a game-like thing and not emphasizing enough the risk of trading. And then their crypto business is very large, and there's a regulatory crackdown on crypto. So I think there are three very key risks, and I don't think the upside on Robinhood really it pales relative to the downside risk, the three I just mentioned right there. So, but Reddit traders and retail traders, they are banging now on Robinhood. But I think it just shows you that there are still a few pockets in the equity market that is just like a circus, to be honest.
Yeah, some stocks are really not driven by fundamentals at all. Momentum is more the game there.
But it's natural gas. Natural gas is
most certainly a momentum play as well right now. On slide 7, I just bring it up because we have the weekly report today on stock levels, and we've seen this market move back about $4 a therm. But we also, I think yesterday we talked about how we got record prices both in Europe and Asia. So this is obviously part of that whole story. But the one of the reasons why we also have very high gas prices in Europe is the fact that LNG exports are rising out of the US. And as LNG exports are rising, and as shale oil derived gas production is still slow in recovering, that basically means the US stock levels are also under some downward pressure. And that's basically keeping these prices at very elevated levels. I've seen a forecast for some of the major banks on gas. They are seeing prices into this winter, forecast price quite a bit lower than where we are actually trading right now, and that leaves the market a little bit tricky. But we do know, we've seen in the past how we can have these big spikes, especially over the winter months. But it's quite unusual we're seeing such a strong move at this time of year.
But isn't it almost a depressing or tragic irony that that you had Chesapeake Energy slipping into bankruptcy back in, is it 2 years ago or 1.5 years ago, or was it during the early days of the pandemic with so much low prices, and now
just before the party started?
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's almost unbearable to think.
Yeah, but it's one of those where you see where, again, sometimes showing a turn in the market. You mentioned the yields and the hedge fund bailouts.
Yes.
Earlier. That sometimes that these major events signal the turn in the market, and now obviously, since then, we've had a very strong pandemic recovery. I also put in the last month's take from the UN FAO. They produce these monthly food price index, which is based on a basket of 95 global food commodities. And the reason why we're obviously focusing on it is because we had this phenomenal rally in the food prices across the world. So I don't expect any fireworks. If you look at the Bloomberg Agricultural Index last month, it was down 1%. And so I expect a small softening still, but from a food security and from an inflation perspective, obviously very key to keep an eye on. So this data will be released later this morning, European hours.
All right, that takes us to the macro calendar. The only thing we have highlighted in red is today's US initial jobs claims and continuing claims at 12:30 GMT. With all the mixed signals yesterday from the services sector ISM print and the disappointing ADP, it will be good to have some new data on the labor market in the US, because that's the key, and it's a it's a weekly indicator, so it's a good real time read on labor conditions. And and then at 1100 we have the Bank of England. There is no expectations for changes in the purchases programs of bonds or the interest rate itself, but there might be some change in the language from the Bank of England, and especially given the setup with Clarida's comments yesterday, it is worth having a look at Bank of England commentary after the rate decision. Ole, do you have anything? You did mention the natural gas storage, right?
I mean, exactly.
It's a key one for that market, of course, and that's at 14:30. So watch out for that if you trade the commodities and specifically the natural gas. In terms of earnings today, the key ones, of course, is Square, given their monster $26 billion acquisition of Afterpay the other day. Zalando, I think, is interesting from a technology e-commerce perspective here in Europe. We know a lot of retail traders are like this one. Glencore, I've mentioned. Novo Nordisk, I've highlighted as well in red. Both Novo Nordisk and Glencore have reported. Glencore is issuing a special dividend, and they are meeting their expectations for the first half result. Novo Nordisk is, I think, was up in trading before we went into this podcast. They're seeing a very strong uptake of their new drug against obesity, which was recently FDA approved in the US, but they're saying that the pickup in sales is much faster than their other obesity drug that they have on the market in the US. So the investors are liking that. We have a profit forecast that is being raised from Siemens, which is the Europe's largest or second largest industrial conglomerate. So that's obviously pro-cyclically positive. We also have Crédit Agricole, better than expected here in Europe this morning. Not a big surprise, with loan losses running lower than expected a year ago. And then just two final comments on earnings after the close in the US. So Uber, I said yesterday, was the bar was lifted with Lyft, swinging into a Q2 profitability, and Uber actually missed on their operating loss. It was wider than larger than expected in Q2. I think it puts enormous pressure on Uber when we open up for trading, also because the Q3 is still projecting a loss, although the growth bookings expectation for Q3 is a little bit above the market, but Uber is really to watch. And then Roku and Etsy, which is our two darlings of retail investors and growth-oriented investors, they both deliver on expectations, maybe a little bit slight disappointment in the outlook, especially Etsy, which didn't even want to provide an outlook. How can that be when we are 7-4 months into the year? I mean, do you really have that bad visibility on that platform? And investors were not happy about that from Etsy. Their shares were down actually quite considerably in extended trading, and Roku shares were also down. So not all is rosy in the land of earnings after all. And I think that concludes today's market call. So we'll be back same time and place tomorrow. And thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at @SaxoMarketCall or by email marketcall@saxobank.com.